We'd Like a Word.
Welcome back to this third part of our episode of We'd Like a Word with Master Storyteller Geoffrey Archer. And me, Paul Waters.
And me, Stephen Colgan.
I would like to talk to you about writer's block. You said you rarely, almost never, suffer from it, and yet you often find yourself there.
Yes, I've built a home in Mallorca where I write in January, February and March, partly because life in Cambridge, I mean, it's like being in the rurals if you live in Cambridge in January, February, March. It goes down to minus 4 degrees, whereas in Mallorca you can be 16 degrees in January. I can walk around in shorts and a singlet. So I'm regularly, that's where I start life. And I built a house there 20 years ago, and I called it Writer's Block. My wife called it Breeze
Block. Breeze Block.
Very rude about it. So I changed it to Writer's Block, and that's what it's called.
And is that where you do all your first drafts?
Yes. I write 6 o'clock until 8 in the morning, get up about 5:30, write 6 to 8. I write 6 to 8 every day of my life, because I can get, that way I can get 700 hours of writing done a year without any interference when most people are on their way to work. When it's a proper writing session, as I would call it, I do 6 to 8, break for 2 hours, 10 to 12, break for 2 hours, 2 to 4, break for 2 hours, 6 to 8, bed by 9:30, 10, up at 5:30 the next morning, first draft, 50 days. 300 hours. Final draft, 1,000 hours, 14 drafts.
Do you drink alcohol during these times? Because I've recently switched to drinking a lot of non-alcoholic beer so I can get up at 6 and write. And if I'm consistently having a drink, it's going to be more difficult. Or if I do get up, I won't be that productive.
No, I'm with you, Paul. I don't drink. I have water or non-alcoholic beer is fine, or a Diet Coke, I can do all of those. I'll have a glass of wine at night, because after 8 o'clock, when I've done the final session and I'm going to bed at 9:30, 10, I'll have a glass of wine.
And when we're talking about your writing practice, I have to ask you my favourite question. Steve knows what's coming next.
I know exactly what's coming next.
Do you have a favourite pen?
My God, yes.
You see, not a stupid question.
I knew it would be good in this instance, because I've read.
I say to people who are writers, don't write with a biro. I mean, most people type, of course. Most people are on a machine. I hand write every single word handwritten. Never write with a biro. It's a bloody struggle. And my secretary has been working for years, getting a better and better and better and better and better and better pen. And I have to say, I use a Pilot. And I find it flows across the paper very easily. And she's always looking for the latest Pilot, whatever it might be. And so every word is handwritten.
Well, if Pilot fancies sponsoring a certain podcast called We'd Like a Word, just get in touch.
Yes, they should, the blighters. I've been buying their pens for years and they've done damned all. So yes, come ring up Paul. And ring up Stephen and say, we're going to back you. We think your podcast is the best. We're going to back you. Do you hear me, Pilot?
Good.
Well, talking of which, didn't we have someone who set a competition prize for us?
Oh, yes, we did. Back in August, we here on We'd Like a Word, we had a competition for listeners. And it was on the episode featuring crime fiction author and tech entrepreneur Ajay Chowdhury, who we mentioned earlier. And he was talking about how he uses artificial intelligence tools to help him write his excellent Detective Kamal Rahman series. Now, we asked you a question, specially for We'd Like a Word listeners, and the prize was a brand new Google Pixel Fold mobile phone, which costs about 1,700 quid, apparently.
Wow,
that's a good prize.
So, and the question was, where did the illustrations come from for his special edition interactive book, The Invitation, or his interactive story called The Invitation, which comes installed on these new Google Pixel Fold mobile phones? And the answer, which people got in touch about to tell us, the answer was Midjourney, which is an AI tool. And he talked about that earlier in the episode. Geoffrey, would you please read out the name of the competition winner?
Paul has handed me a piece of paper, which he demanded I remained folded until we reached this particular point, so I am only opening it for the first time. And the winner of We'd Like a Word prize of a Google Pixel Fold mobile phone is our listener, Mark Vent.
Yay.
Mark Vent.
Well done,
well
Mark.
Well done, sir. Well played, Mark.
Congratulations, Mark. Mark is a regular listener, and we're very pleased to be able to send that to you,
beautiful
Mark.
Pen.
Well, it's actually a phone.
He gets a lovely phone.
Oh, it's this new fantastic phone,
It's a Google Pixel Fold. Oh, that big thing that folds up.
No, yeah.
Oh, that's quite lovely. A prize.
We were thinking we should have got three of them, really, because I quite fancy one, but it was too late then. Well,
but if we get any pen sponsorship, then it'll be a beautiful pen.
Yes.
Well done, Mark Vent. Congratulations.
Yeah, that is excellent. A good value to Mark. There was one thing I want to ask you. What bores you about a story? Because you read a lot, and there must be times when you're reading and think, actually, I'm bored now.
Yes.
This hasn't grabbed me.
Yes.
Or do you feel an obligation to read to
No,
the
I do not feel any obligation to finish a book that is boring me. If I get to page 30 and I don't give a damn whether the person lives or dies, I put it down. I'm the same in the theatre. I've reached that age now where I leave at half time if they're boring me. I go home. I may well have spent £100 buying the ticket, but I'm damned if my secretary will set the whole thing out because she's paid the £100. I won't. And I remember in a film with Brad Pitt, God bless him, where the third of the way through, the beautiful girl has him in bed and she's just about to cut his throat with a knife. And someone in the audience said, for God's sake, do it. We can all go home. And I said, well, that ain't going to happen because they've paid him millions to finish the last two thirds. No, Paul, certainly not. If I'm bored with the book, I don't finish. But when I get one that's really exciting, gosh, isn't that thrilling? And indeed, last night I was watching a film that escaped me. Now, you've both had that. You could blimey. No one recommended it.
So what was it?
I'm going to tell you.
Good.
Patience, child. Okay. I'm going to tell you. And it's called Miss Potter with Renée Zellweger and Ewan McGregor. The story of Beatrix Potter. I was glued in. I thought, how did I... And it's evidently 20 years old. I thought, how did this get past me? So anybody listening, Miss Potter... If you're doing
it's a lovely film. It's a lovely
film. It's a lovely film.
But it's got no robots and special effects.
No,
and
it has no. Now, pay attention. It's a very fair point Stephen has made in his usual ill-mannered way. It has no robots, no special effects, no bad language, no violence, no rockets, but it's wonderful.
I have to ask you about India. Because
isn't that weird?
My wife is from India, and when we are there, guaranteed in bookshops to see you there.
Yeah,
you're published around the world. Now, also, one of the interesting things about India, it's even more so in Pakistan, but there people have lots of counterfeit books, and they sell them at the side of the road.
Yes.
I think it may be 6 counterfeits to every legit book from a shop in Pakistan. It might be 20 to 1, but. It's great to see people reading, of course, and not so great for the authors wanting to get paid for the books they've spent their lives writing. But I heard that there was a particular incident that you experienced in India. Tell us about that.
Well, I got off a plane and got into my car. And you drive into, of course, somewhere like Delhi or Mumbai, wherever it might be. And it's a long journey. The speed you go, you needn't bother with a 20-mile speed limit. I mean, they've never hit 20 miles. They wouldn't know what it is. And a young man, I would say, 7, 8, 9, maybe, came up with a pile of books, banged on the window. I wound down the window and he said, would you like the latest Jeffrey Archer? I said, I am the latest Jeffrey Archer. And yes, they sell you on the streets. What they do, the wicked things. Now, my book has come out today. An Indian will have purchased it at London Airport. He will have got onto a plane. He will arrive in Mumbai. He will have the book on the streets. Hold your breath. 24 hours later, at a third of the price. Now, I never admit this to my publisher, because they say, oh, this is disgraceful, we've written to the United Nations, we've written to the Prime Minister, I'd rather be read than dead. 100 million people in India have read Cain and Abel, and I certainly haven't had the money.
And have you changed the publishing schedule to have it simultaneously published in India at the same time as the UK because of this sort of thing?
3 days before. They come out in India 3 days before. It doesn't make a blind bit of difference because they then pick it up in India and do it. I've just given them a quicker way of doing it.
Saved
so
on
I
the airfare.
Went back to the publishers and said it'd be better a day later, frankly. And no, that's been a total failure. But I love the Indians. They're big readers. Big readers. They care about books. They're passionate about books. And they're great entrepreneurs. So they love anything that has a feeling of achievement and attainment. No, I love the Indians. And I'm always told when I'm Indian, a very, very great honour for me when I did the Jaipur Book Festival. And 8,500 people came to hear me speak.
Wow.
I mean, that really was one of the great moments in my life. But my publishers always say, now, Geoffrey, when you go on radio or television, you are not to talk about cricket. Of course, they're nuts, these bloody publishers. They haven't got a clue. So I go on and I talk about Dhoni and I talk about Gavaskar and I go through the list, V.V.S. Laxman. I talk about the great Indian test that I've remembered and the book sales go flying up. Realize they just love their cricket so much, and they know I love my cricket. You can't bluff with an Indian because he'll stop you in the street and say, well, and one of them told me off. He said, you talk about V.V.S. Laxman's cover drive, you're wrong. It's Roald Dravid's cover drive that the world will remember. So you've got to be blooming careful what you say because there are always experts listening. And by the way, that's a problem with books, Paul. Whoever reads your book, there'll be some expert who'll drop you a line saying, I do apologise, Geoffrey, but on page 147, oh, God, and they're always right.
I know, and the problem is that information changes over time. I used to be one of the writers of the TV show QI, and we had to be so careful to make sure all the facts were correct because there's a million keyboard warriors out there. Dear so-called Stephen Fry, on last week's show you said this, and blah, blah, blah. And the problem is because the shows are constantly cycling on TV, stuff that was in a show 10 years ago may be no longer current and correct anyway.
No.
So, and
there is a solution to that, though. I was at a pub quiz on Achill Island in the west of Ireland at one time when I was living in Dublin. So our team, none of us were from Dublin, but we were called the Dubliners. Everyone else was from Achill. And one of the questions was, how many times has Germany won the World Cup? And the correct answer was how many times they'd won it when that quiz began. Regardless of how many times they'd won it since, everyone else there knew the correct house answer, and we were wrong because we were a bit more up to date. But the answer is, the judge is always right, the house rules, and if the world has changed since the book was written or QI was first recorded, tough luck.
Yes.
That's all you can do. That's all you
yes.
can do.
It has been a huge pleasure having Geoffrey Archer here on We'd Like a Word, and that is the end of part three in this episode, and I hope you've enjoyed listening.
Thank you very much for having me on. I have to say, I get interviewed by a lot of people who don't read the book and genuinely don't have serious and sensible questions.
We always read the book.
What a privilege to be on this podcast. Many thanks.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to We'd Like a Word with Geoffrey Archer, me, Paul Waters.
And me, Steve Colgan.
See you next time.
Bye.